welcome Matthew Murray this morning. Praise God.
Hallelujah. It's good to be here this morning in sunny Madison. It's great to see what God's doing, really. It's good to be back in this place and just to see life and health and growth and all that God's doing here. So thank you so much for having us back, Shane and Lady Laura. As my little boy would say, he's around here somewhere. You'll see a little red-headed English kid running around. Probably belongs to me. So hopefully you'll get to say hello to him. He's in kids' church this morning. He was really excited about that. So, and I was excited about him going in there too. So that saves us a bit of hassle. It really is good to be here today, and I mean that with all my heart. Becky, my wife, cannot be here. She is in Salina, North Ohio. I'm getting to grips with my geography around this place. So she's in Salina this morning, and then tonight we're going to be in Owenton, Kentucky. So we're preaching in three states today between us, so that's pretty cool. And we've been here for about 10 days now. Then we go back to England tomorrow. And then we're actually going to be home for a few weeks, which is very rare. Oh, no, we're not. I forgot. Becky's going to Kenya next week. I forgot about that. Life's pretty crazy right now. So it can sometimes we forget where we are, what day it is, what continent we're on. But I think it's the 5th of June. I've got to know that because it's my mum's birthday. And I'm in America. So we'll get that clear to start with. So life's pretty busy. To give you some idea of our year so far, in January we were in Sri Lanka. In February we were in Kenya. At the end of March we flew to America. We were in Alabama. Then we went down to Louisiana. Then we went up to New York. That kind of ran into April. In May we came here. Obviously now we're into June. Next week Becky's going to go to Kenya. She'll just be there for 4 or 5 days. Then she'll go back to England. And then in July, we take a team of 21 people to Kenya. And then we're back for about 3 weeks. And then we go to Sri Lanka in August. And then the first week of September, we have to be in Canada. The second week of September, we have to be in Kenya. And then the first week of October, we have to be back in America. And then in November, we're currently doing very little. And then in December, we'll be back in Kenya again. And then in the midst of that, we pastor a church in England. So you can just imagine life's pretty crazy. But it's good because God's doing great things. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that this morning. We've got some great people with us here from England. We've got Charlotte and Nathan down there at the front, holding hands on the front row. And then we've got Laura, who's Nathan's sister. We've got Megan, and we've also got Kayla, who isn't British, but she's great as well. And Kayla's a great friend of ours. She's been out there to Kenya. So some of these guys, it's their first time in America. They're having a great time. We got to see the Cincinnati Reds yesterday. And they won. Wow. Come on. Biggest cheer of the day for the Reds. So it really is great to be here. And Pastor Shane and Laura are really good friends of ours now. You know, we've been with them now for a few years. And I meant what I said. You know, we go some places, you preach, you get in, you get out. Some places, you can't wait to get in and out. But some places, you just kind of like hanging around there for a bit, you know. And this is one of them places. So we're so excited just to continue this relationship. Also, this is one of the churches which supports us financially on a regular basis. You know, very often, the girl who kind of runs our finances in the USA, she'll just call me or text me and say, hey, River Valley sent us a check. And, you know, it's completely spontaneous. We didn't ask for nothing. And you know, you guys just felt it on your heart to send some money. And let me tell you, that always comes at the perfect time. It's just amazing. I've learned now. I've been doing this a few years. And God just always knows when to send the money in. He really does. And we always say, God's will, God's bill. God's will, God's bill. And it's that makes life a little bit easier when you take that burden off of yourself, you know, and you just trust that God's going to do a great thing. And I've got I got story after story of how God provides. It's just incredible what God does. When you really step out for Him, you don't need to worry about money or provision. God always gives provision for the vision. Always provision for the vision. It's never the other way around. Okay, you don't get provision and then you get the vision. It's always you get the vision and then comes the provision. So if God's put something on your heart today, let me encourage you to step out and go for it. And you would be amazed at how God will just supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Hallelujah. It's great to be here. It really is. So just kind of been wondering what direction to go in this morning. I'm going to show you a video in a moment. It's a really exciting time for One by One. We have the children's home in Kenya, and we now have 150 children in there every day on site. And we have two updates, really, what I want to share with you this morning. And I'm just going to share something what I believe God's put on my heart, what I just can't shake it off. And that must mean that I'm supposed to tell you it today, and that's hopefully going to help you. Let me rewind about 10 years, okay? I'd been a Christian for about 1 year, maybe a little bit longer than that, maybe about 18 months. And, you know, I was a single guy, really pursuing God. And when I first got saved, I was so crazy. I mean, I'm probably still crazy now, but I was even crazier then. I mean, I was relentless. I mean, Shane used that word earlier, and I'm honored that he would use that word, because I've always tried to be so zealous and so relentless and so tenacious for the things of God, okay? I want to be hungry for God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get boring and religious. I mean, one guy said to me, he was an older guy, he said, "Oh, that enthusiasm will go out of you one day. I used to be like you when I was your age." I'm looking at him thinking, is that what I've got to look forward to? I want to always be burning for God. No matter how young or how old I am, I want to be hungry and pursuing the next thing in God. So I was crazy. You know, my the man who led me to Christ was an evangelist named Nathan Morris. He was a British guy. We came from the same part of England. We came from Yorkshire, which produces some great preachers over the years. You know, Smith Wigglesworth and Hudson Taylor, and just great men have come from that part of the world. David Jones was another one of them. You'll remember him, of course. He's my friend. So, you know, when I met this guy, Nathan Morris, I was so hungry just to be around him. I mean, he carried something which I'd never seen anyone carry before. I mean, it was like you could just feel the presence of God just when he walked into a room. He had an aura about him which I was just amazed by. I'd grown up in church. I'd gone through the motions, you know, two fast songs, two slow songs, communion, preach, go home, Sunday lunch. I'd done that for years, and I knew how things ticked. And when you grow up in church, you learn to, you know, perform and act. And you can, you know, I said on Wednesday, Christians can be some of the greatest actors in the world. They know when to raise their hands, when to shout amen. They got it good. You know, we got some great actors in church. And so when I saw this guy, I was just so amazed, because I'd never seen anything like it in my life. This guy was praying for the sick. They were getting healed. I mean, that stuff actually still happens today. And I didn't know that, because I'd never seen a miracle at all growing up in church. So I honestly didn't know if that stuff still happened or not. So suddenly, the sick are getting healed. And he's then teaching me how to pray for the sick. And then suddenly, they're getting healed when I begin to pray for them. And I was more shocked than the people getting healed, that God would use me to heal someone. It was crazy. I mean, seriously, every time it happens, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And I was so hungry for this man to disciple me. Now, when you want someone to disciple you, you know, you've got to be the one doing the chasing. That's one thing I've learned. You know, people join church and they expect the pastor to be the one chasing them around all week. Hey, how you doing? Can you come to the meeting? Hey, can I disciple you? Can I call you? Please, can we meet? And, you know, pastors and preachers, they can be very busy people. They got 100, 200, 300 people doing that to them all week. They can't meet everyone's need. So I found if you really want something, you got to go and get it. Yeah. And Nathan was like this, you know. I was just desperate to be around this guy. And I thought, I'm not going to take no for an answer for this guy discipling me. It's just not even an option. I mean, I would annoy the man. I mean, I would practically harass the man. I mean, I would show up at his house. I would call him. I would literally do anything I could to spend one moment with this guy, because I knew that he had something that I didn't have, and he had something that I wanted in my life. Now, people would criticize me for that. They'd say, oh, look at him. He's just chasing a human and all that stuff. But I knew my heart. I wasn't just chasing some guy. I was chasing God, and I was hungry for God. And I just want to encourage you this morning to never lose your hunger for God. It's so easy to go through the motions. It is so easy just to tick along and just do church. It is so easy. But I never want to lose my hunger for God. I just can't lose it. I've got to be hungry. I want to be thirsty. I want to be just desperate for the presence of God. And we started ministering together, and he would let me preach with him. You know, we'd go some places, preach for 3 nights, and he'd let me preach for 1 night. And I'd only been a Christian for about a year at this time, so this was really fast stuff. You know, it was a suddenly moment. And then I was working in professional soccer at the time. Of course, we call it football, but you, for some reason, call it soccer. And I've never understand that, because you use your feet to kick the ball. So that's why we call it football. I think that makes perfect sense. But not here in America. So it's soccer, okay? So I was working in professional soccer as a writer. I was a journalist for newspapers and magazines up and down the country. And it was going really well. I mean, really well. They would send me to some of the best stadiums in the country. And every single week I would get a decision of where I wanted to go or where they wanted to send me. And life was just great. I mean, it really was great. But how many know when God really puts his hand on you, you know, you've got to make some sacrifices and make some tough decisions. And I knew that God was calling me to preach and to minister. I just knew it was so clear to my life that I was born for more than just a good career and making some money. And God calls some people to business, and maybe God's called some people here to business, and God will use you in that way. You know, we need businessmen as well to fulfill the gospel and to send the gospel around the world. But for me, I just knew that that wasn't my thing. I knew that God had got something else for me. Now, in England, and I'm sure it's the same here, you only get so many weeks vacation each year from your job. So in England, we get it pretty good. We get about 5 or 6 weeks a year. And yeah, I know. You're going to move to England now, aren't you? So now I'd used all of those weeks on mission trips. And then I had an opportunity to go to Kenya for the very first time in my life. I'd never even been to Kenya. And Nathan Morris was doing a crusade there. And we had so much opposition to people, from people in the church, about going on this mission trip. I mean, people were literally coming up to us and saying, God told me you're not allowed to go on that trip. And good people were saying this, you know, not just bad people, but good people. And it was a tough decision. So we had to really pray and seek God. And Nathan came to the decision, I'm going to go on this trip to Kenya. We're going to go. He's like, can you come with me? Because he was going on his own at this point. I said, yeah, I'll be there. Then I remembered that I had a job. I thought, wow, let's see what happens here. So I thought, well, you know, and I knew that I was doing pretty good in my career. And I knew that my boss really liked me. So I thought, hey, he'll just give me the time off. You know, he really likes me. We've got a great relationship. You know, it'll be easy. So I walk into his office one day. Say, hey, boss, I want to go on a mission trip. And he knew I was a Christian, and he knew that I was giving my time more and more to this. I said, hey, I just need a week off. And I'm thinking he's just going to say yes, it's going to be easy. He said no. I'm like, it's about the money. Unpaid leave. I can take a hit for a week. I'll be fine. I said, hey, boss, how about unpaid leave? And I mean, that's a great deal. You know, you don't have to pay me anything. I'll just disappear for a week. You won't even know I'm gone. Easy. He said no. Like, wow, maybe our relationship isn't quite as strong as I thought it was. So then I hear that a preacher's coming into town, and his name is Bill Wilson. Anyone heard of that guy? And Bill Wilson is the pastor of the largest Sunday school in the world. And he was coming to do a conference in Rotherham, my hometown where we were living at the time. And I'd never really heard of him, but I heard he was a good preacher. But I did know the young lady who was going to that meeting who I had my eye on. That lady became my wife. You'll be pleased to know. So I thought, well, if I go to that meeting, and I knew she was really passionate about children's ministry, so I thought, if I go to that meeting, she might be impressed by me going to that meeting, and maybe something will happen. Wow, did I just admit that in church? So I went to this meeting, kind of, you know, with one eye on the preacher, but one eye on the girl on the front row. So I go there, and my life is completely ruined in one night. Completely turned around. Maybe that's going to happen to someone in here this morning, where you got out of bed and thought, I'm just going to go to church, sing a few songs, go home. Maybe God has positioned you to hear this story right now because he's calling you to more than where you currently are. Just maybe today, some person in this room, man, woman, child, doesn't matter how old, doesn't matter how young, is going to hear this message and think, you know what? I can do this. I can do something for God in my generation. We only need one person today. I've realized that. I've stopped looking for big crowds. I've stopped looking for them. I mean, seriously. I mean, I go to some places, and there could be 7,000 people there when we preach. I mean, huge places. But really, it doesn't matter. I'm just, every time I get on a microphone behind a pulpit, I'm really looking around the room. I'm thinking, who's it going to be? We just need one person. We just need one person today. It doesn't matter who. We just need one person to say, you know what? I want to make a difference for God. Because I've seen the power of what God can do with one life. And I keep saying, we're looking for the one. Looking for the one. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be today? I don't know. Who says, you know what? I've got to make a difference. I'm sick and tired of mundane, mediocre Christianity. I've got to make a difference and do something for God. Who's it going to be? Keep saying we might have to kiss a few frogs before we find the prince. But we'll keep kissing them because we're going to find someone today who says, that's it. This is it. I'm ready to lay my life down for God. That happened to me in that meeting. That happened. November 2006. It happened. And I knew then and there that my life would never be the same again. This guy preached a message that caused me, literally, gave me the passion to throw away everything I had and serve God. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. That night, I went up to him after the service. I told him my predicament. I said, here I am. I can't get time off work. I need to go to Kenya. You can guess what he told me to do. You can guess. I was so troubled. I mean, this was a career path which I believe God had opened up. This was financially looking good for me. I wasn't earning great money, but the money was starting to come in and the positions were starting to come. And I was very young to be doing what I was doing. You know, I was the youngest reporter they'd employed in over 50 years. So things were going crazy well on paper, but I knew God had spoken. I just knew it. So there I am. And I go back to the meeting the second night. And Pastor Bill, he's preaching away, he's preaching away, he's preaching away. I could tell you the message he preached that night. And he's preaching away, and I'm sat on the second row on the end of the row. And halfway through his message, he literally stops what he's doing. He walks on down to me, and he screams in my face, go to Kenya! Just like that. Well, I thought, that's it. I literally thought, that is it. Three words, go to Kenya. And that was it for me. My life completely changed because of those three words. And I walked back into the office on Monday. I thought, I'll give it one more go with the boss. And I thought, I'll call his bluff and tell him I'm going to quit. And he's going to be so devastated and so distraught that he's going to beg me to stay and he's going to grant me the week of unpaid leave. So I go in there, I say, boss, I've made a decision. I know you said I can't have unpaid leave, but I'm going to leave my career behind and I'm going to go on a 1 week trip to Kenya. And he said, thank you very much, I'll see you later. That was it. That was it. Jobless, unemployed. And then things went pretty crazy. So my family were really unhappy with me. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, they were really unhappy. I had to live with them. My church were unhappy with me. You know, I've seen good Christians counsel the will of God off of someone's life. I've seen godly people, prophetic people, talk the will and the call of God of someone's life with supposed wisdom just because a person showed a bit of faith and wants to put their trust in God and not man. They tried to do that with me. The elders dragged me. One of them was my future father-in-law. At the same time, I'm trying to get his daughter. This is not going well. This is not how you get a girl. You don't annoy the father-in-law, okay? So they said, look, we're really sorry. We just don't think this is a wise move. We don't think this is a smart decision. And I had to look them in the eye, and they were really well-meaning, and they were really loving about it. I said, look, guys, I've heard God here. This ain't just some stupid idea. I'm not just doing this on a whim. This is something that means a lot to me. I've got to do it. So I stepped out. I went to Kenya, and here we are today in that same village where we went, rescuing children, seeing 150 of them completely changed and delivered and healed and cleansed. God's a good God. But it only happens when you're willing to take a step. Big doors open on small hinges. I'm going to say that one more time. Big doors open on small hinges. Those little decisions, those little phone calls, those little visits, those little kind of things you got to do, those people you meet, those relationships you build. You never know what God's doing in your life. Big doors open on small hinges. Here we are, 10 years later, beautiful children's home, beautiful children, completely rescued because of one little decision to go to Kenya. God's good. 10 years went by. In fact, 9 years went by. And I've never seen Bill Wilson since that day. In fact, I saw him one time just to hear him preach. But I never spoke to him on a personal level, really. I didn't know him. We weren't friends. And I realized that, you know what? There's a story in the Bible where 10 lepers get healed by Jesus. And out of those 10, only one of them bothers going back and saying thank you. I don't want to be one of like those 9 ungrateful lepers. So I don't know about you, but if your pastor has blessed you recently with something he said, or your worship team, or someone in church, or a minister who you've visited, it wouldn't do you any harm to just let them know that they've blessed you and to say, hey, thank you for your ministry. You would not believe as a pastor how much that actually means to you. So we get up here talking every week. Half of you look like you want to fall to sleep, and we don't know who's really listening. And it would really bless your pastor if you would go to him and say, hey, pastor, you really blessed me last week. Thank you so much. And I thought, I need to do that to this guy. You know, he really changed my life 10 years ago with something he said. Now all what God's done in these years that's gone by, he needs to know about it. So I tracked him down. I found his staff. I said, I want a one-on-one meeting with Bill Wilson. I thought, I've got no chance. They came back to me and said, hey, he's agreed to have breakfast with you, but it's in an obscure location in the middle of nowhere on a Saturday morning. I thought, I'll be there. So I made it happen, and I drove there to meet him. Becky was with me, and he was just so blown away when I told him what had happened. Now, what I didn't know the full extent of was that Bill had since moved part of his ministry. He's in the Bronx in New York City, That's where he's famous for. But in recent years, he's began to expand, and he's in the Philippines, South Africa, Taiwan, Ethiopia, Indonesia, you name it, he's everywhere. His ministry reaches over 200,000 kids a week. Okay, the biggest Sunday school in the world. And I realized at that point that, you know, I really had to just go and thank him. And it turns out they were reaching 68,000 kids a week through their Sunday school in Kenya. That's a lot of kids. So he was telling me all about that. And then he said to me, hey, you know that we could do something like this in Bumala. Bumala's the village where we are. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. And he showed me. He said, this is how we do it. We just got to employ some staff, train them up, and then we go. Now, Bill Wilson has a letter from the president of Kenya that gives him access to every public school in the nation. Okay? So we partnered with him in that moment. We said, we want to do this, and we want to do something great for these kids. You know, we got 150 who we're discipling, we're loving, we're like mother and father to them, but we really want to have a greater influence in the community. So we hired four staff. We took out the step of faith. Again, same thing. Vision first, provision second. We didn't have the money. We still don't have the money a lot of the time, but we step out in faith. You know, missionaries never got any money. It's one thing you'll learn. We stepped out in faith. We had the vision. Then we trust God for the provision. And we hired four staff members after that conversation. And we hired them. They're Kenyan people. They're local people. And we sent them to his people in Kenya to be trained. Now, what happened next? We just were not ready for this at all. This has only happened in the last 6 weeks. So they came back to Bumala. We made contact with local schools. And in the first week of Sunday school in our area, we had 10,736 children in attendance. So that's good. So God's been good, and it's rounding out about 8,000 a week now. And we should be getting the report today, maybe even last night. I've not checked yet. And every week now, 8,000 to 10,000 kids just hearing the gospel, being discipled, being brought up in Christianity. I think that's something worth celebrating, what God's doing. So we're so excited, you know. I mean, 10,000 kids a week. So that influence is really growing. So please keep praying for us there. I'm going to show you two videos right now. One of them is 90 seconds long. One of them's about 3 minutes long. The first one will just give you an overview of what God's doing in Kenya. The same kids who, you know, many of you are sponsored children here. We still desperately need sponsors, okay? You know, Becky in 2006 had a real encounter which changed her life. She was walking down the street and she found a little girl who was begging for money. The girl had no shoes on. And Becky stopped for this girl and she said, hey, can I buy you some shoes? You know, the gospel's so simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to be a great orator or a great public speaker to reach someone with the gospel. You know, you think this is evangelism. This isn't evangelism. This is just speaking to church people. When you get out there, you don't need great public speaking skills. You don't need to wear a nice suit. You know, God can use you. And Becky was walking down that street, saw a kid with no shoes on, and then thought, this is the call of God right now. I'm going to buy this kid some shoes. She didn't need a prophetic visitation from an angel to tell her to do that. Okay? She just saw the need and realized that the immediate need was to buy the girl some shoes. She bought her some shoes. She played with her. She ate sweets with her. She just had so much fun with this girl. This girl was 9 years old. Her name was Felicity. She was stunningly beautiful. Beautiful eyes, gorgeous smile. I mean, she could be a model. She was that pretty. And Becky was just doing what any normal person would do with a kid who needs some love. What every kid should have. What hopefully your kids are having, just regular kid stuff. That night we had a gospel meeting, and Becky was getting ready for the meeting. The girl said, hey, should I wait here in your hotel room for you while you come go to church, and then I'll see you after? And she's like, what? What do you mean? So a second time, the girl says, I'll wait in your hotel room while you go to the meeting. Becky's getting confused. What does this mean? So she asked her a third time. And sure enough, this little girl said this. She said, well, yeah, I'll wait in your hotel room while you go to the meeting. Becky said, what do you mean, sweetheart? What do you mean by that? And sure enough, this little girl, who's 9 years old, thought that Becky had bought her some shoes. She thought that she'd been so nice to her because she expected sexual favors from her in return. She's 9 years old. 9 years old. Can you imagine what that girl's gone through at 9 to think that of another woman? We made a vow that day that this was it. We couldn't do anything for that girl. We had to leave town. We don't know what happened to her. We don't even know if she's still alive. That was 10 years ago. We didn't have an orphanage. We didn't have a bank account. We didn't have a non-profit organization. We didn't have a speaking itinerary. We just had a heart for God. And 10 years ago, we had to leave that little girl. But Becky made a vow in her heart that if she could just rescue one more girl like that, this would all be worth it. All the traveling, all the speaking, all the suitcases, all the airports, all the tiredness, all the stress, all the pressure. It would be worth it if we could just rescue one more little girl like that. 10 years later, there's an orphanage. There's 150 little kids just like that one. Some of them have been raped, abused, hurt, beat up, tormented. I mean, you would not even believe. HIV positive, witchcraft exposed to the occult. But God's rescuing them. And God is still changing people's lives. So thank you for standing with us. It's making a difference. On that table at the back there, we're going to be there straight after the service. We still got kids who need sponsors like her. It's $30 a month. That's it. I don't get paid for being here, guys. I'm not here on a fundraising trip so I can get a new car. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm here. Every cent goes to the work. I literally don't even get paid nothing. I don't put myself on a salary, so no one can accuse me of being in this for the money. And God takes care of us. All the money goes to the work. That's rare. Most non-profits, I was chatting to a pastor this week, they spend over 70% of their income on salary, you know. And I don't want to do that, okay? I want to give the money which people give to the cause. So it's $30 a month. That's it. We can sign you up today, give you a profile. You can write to the child, give gifts to the child. You can even come and visit the child. We take trips 4 or 5 times a year. I'm sure we'll take some of you guys one day, I'm sure. I know Pastor Shane is itching to get out there. So please pray about that. I don't need to beg. I just don't. You know what to do. And if you can help with $30 a month, that would be awesome. Let's show that first video. It's called It's Not. And if we could just get the lights down, that would be great. And then we'll go straight into the next video as well. Thank you. Praise God. So that's what God's doing in Kenya. So thank you so much. Seriously, you guys who support us, those of you who sponsor kids, you really, really are making a difference, you know. And it's just a pleasure to be able to come to churches that have been with us now for a few years on this journey and tell them what's happening. So thank you so much, Pastor Shane, Pastor Laura. We mean that from all at Kings, all the children. Always send their love. They always tell us, send our love to everyone in America who's helping us. And it really does mean a lot. You can grab a magazine at the back. That's just going to be information. We got the Dignity Project. This is helping girls at risk of trafficking. That's another new project. That's some sponsorship information. You can also get one of these books. This is a great book. We normally sell these for about $5, but today I'm just going to say any donation you want to give. We don't want to take these books back to England. There's maybe 25 of them back there on the table, 30 of them. Just grab a book, whatever donation you give today, just take one. This will really bless your heart. I'm just going to share one more little story, and then I'm going to hand back to Pastor Shane. I know time is precious today. About 2 years ago, God spoke to my wife, and this often happens with her. I've never been able to work it out. I'm not one of those kind of people who that just happens to, but she'll just tell me God spoke to me. And I don't think I've ever heard Nona get anything wrong, seriously, with that, which, you know, I know she's only a human, but when she says that God spoke to her, she's very much always nearly accurate with it. And she said, "Matt, God spoke to me that we got to go to Sri Lanka." I thought, "Sri Lanka? Are you serious?" I mean, we've done some crazy stuff in our time, but this one's pretty, pretty crazy. And she said, "No, God spoke to me about Sri Lanka. We got to go there." I thought, well, what do you do with that? I mean, what do you do? Do you go and book a plane ticket? Do you go find a vacation? Do you track down a missionary there? And I just can't do all that stuff, okay? For me, it's got to be God thing, all right? I just don't do stuff for the sake of it. We could go anywhere in the world, build an orphanage or rescue people, but it's got to be God's will. It really has, you know. It really has. There's so much need out there, you can get distracted by just running around chasing people. So I thought, well, what do we do? I know one Sri Lankan guy, and he lives in London. So that's about as good as I've got on that one. Anyway, we turn up to Florence, Kentucky, to be with Pastor Cleddy. And we were speaking that weekend. And that day we arrived, he had another pastor in with him from out of town. This pastor was the assistant superintendent of one of the largest denominations in Sri Lanka. Thought, that's crazy. So we met him, and to cut a long story short, 3 months later we were preaching in his church, which is the largest church in the nation, 7,000 people, humongous facility. I mean, they have something like 300 life groups, and I just couldn't believe this place. I'd never seen anything like it, and this is happening in a Buddhist nation, and God just moving in that place. I mean, it was incredible. Now, I love preaching, I love doing this, I love talking in front of people, you know, but it's not really what gets me out of bed in the morning, preaching. I'm going to be honest with you. So when you say to me, "Hey, you got to preach in front of 7,000 people," I'm like, "Yeah, that's fun and it's good and it looks good on the resume, but that's not really what I'm born to do." Becky and I, we're always looking for the poorest of the poor in missions work where we can really get to. So we were in Colombo. It's a beautiful city. It's a nice city. It's an evolving city. And I thought, well, this is great. It's awesome, but there's no poverty here. I can't see no poor people. I mean, people are dressing smart and they're driving cars. And you know, there is some problems there. It's not like an American city or an English city, but it's a pretty nice place, you know, beautiful building. And yeah. So I said to the pastor, "Look, where's the real danger at here? Okay, I want to get where the action is." And he said, "Well, to do that, you've got to go to the north." I said, "Okay, let's go." He said, "No, it's an 8-hour drive." I'm like, "Okay, let's go." He said, "You can't go there right now. There's political unrest, and they won't let you up into the north of the country." I said, "Why? What's going on?" He said, "Well, there was a 27-year civil war here. 27 years. And he said, the Tamil Tigers were a terrorist group, and they fought with the government. So it was brutal war for 27 years, okay? So they said to us, look, I don't know if you want to go up there. It's very unsafe." I said, "That's exactly where we want to go. We don't care." The gospel, if the gospel doesn't work in the darkest place on earth, then is it really the gospel? Now, we're talking here about Jesus, not some church program. I mean, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ we're talking about. So if I'm serious, you know, the gospel is the power of God. You know, C.T. Studd said, I want to live within an inch of hell. And he would go to the darkest places. And I was just trying to get there, but they wouldn't even let us go. So we went back, and then, you know, I was sick, and I couldn't go back there. And then we went back another time. And this time they said, we've got you an avenue to get into the north of the nation. I went, great. So we drove. The police were stopping us every hour, and we had to go through checks every hour of the 8 hours to just find out what we're doing. We just kept a low profile. We didn't tell them too much stuff. And we got there. We were in the north. What happened next was pretty amazing. You know, I've seen poverty. I've been around Africa. I've been in Sierra Leone 4 times, which is it is the poorest nation on earth. And I've seen poverty in Kenya. I've seen people so poor they don't even know where their next meal's coming from. When I got to the north of Sri Lanka, I saw that same poverty, but this time it had devastation attached to it. It had story after story of people. We went in these little churches. The churches are small, 30, 40 people in each church. I spoke in 15 churches in 2 days. That's a pretty busy itinerary. And we're going, and every person we met had a heartbreaking story of the war. They would say, my husband was killed. My family were killed. You know, I mean, just story after story. And we knew then and there that we just had to do something. You know, we had to do something. And Becky had on her heart that we would help the widows. She said, look, you know, the book of James says that pure and undefiled religion is this, to care for orphans and widows in their time of distress and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So we were helping the orphans in Kenya, and we now thought this is an opportunity to reach the widows. And we would meet children who had memories of their own father being killed by a bomb. We would meet one woman who had twin babies, and she had to run across some water to escape the terrorists. And she would come, and she had to hold both babies above her head, above the water, and only one of them survived at the other side of the water. And she's weeping and wailing, telling us this story. We met a young boy who said he was beat up by his own teacher just because he refused to bow down and worship an idol in his class, in his school. And his teacher, he said, I'm a Christian. He was 8 years old. His name's Johan. And he said, look, I'm so sorry, mister, but I'm only going to bow down to one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And at 8 years old, he got beat up by his own teacher for saying that. This kind of stuff drives me, makes me angry. That's why we do what we do, because the little kid's like Johan, who's 8. Now we got him in a Christian school, we're paying his fees, and he's getting a good education in Jesus' name. So you got to go to find this stuff out. And this kid, stories like that. I mean, they took us to a beach. It was beautiful sand and palm trees, and you would go there on your vacation. Then they say, hey, watch out for the bones. We're like, what? Said, just be careful when you're walking around because you might see some bones. I'm like, what are they talking about? They said, this is where the war ended, and tens of thousands of people were cornered here. And then the armies and the terrorists clashed, and about 40, 50,000 people were killed on this beach. And you'll still see bones and clothes of little children who died here. It's like a grave site. And we got to walk across it. It's tough out there. We knew right then that's exactly where we're supposed to be. So in January, we started a new project named Hope Sri Lanka. And we're now feeding 260 people there every day with the good news of the gospel. We partnered with about 25 churches who are distributing food, distributing hygiene products. We can't even take mission trips there yet. It's not safe. But we go there at least once or twice a year. We have to go in under the radar. I say that. We had a bit of a mistake last time because we found an airline what would drop us right in there, a private airline. It was much more safer than going via car. So we flew to Colombo normally, and we found a little plane which could get us in there. I thought we were being smart. What we didn't realize was that the plane landed right in the army base in the north of Sri Lanka. And we're like, all these government, these tanks and these guys, I'm thinking, this is it. It's been a good 29 years. This is it. Anyway, we prayed, God, would you blind their eyes? And literally, we strolled right through there with a camera crew, and it just went amazingly well. And I'm going to show you a video right now, then I'm going to hand back to Pastor Shane, and you're going to, you know, hear about what God's doing in Sri Lanka. It is a privilege to help these people. They are the most beautiful people. They've been through devastation and hurt. And I just want you to watch this video and just pray about how you can get involved, and then afterwards we'll be there at the back table. You can pick up a book, sponsor a kid, talk to us, find out how you can get involved in what God's doing in Kenya. And, you know, we're excited about Sri Lanka. You know, there's been so much devastation in that nation. They had the war. They had the tsunami. Even last week, we had to send an emergency $3,000 their way because their church building was flooded. I mean, these people just, it's just been devastation after devastation. But we thank God that he shines brightest in the darkest places. And we're just so grateful. We're excited to see what God's going to do in this nation. Let's just watch that video, and then I'll hand back to Pastor Shane. Thank you. Let's get that volume up.
Go where no one else will go. We'll go to the poorest of the poor.
Hallelujah. Adam, would you come? Guys, would you come? Fellas, if you would come as we, how moving is that? And powerful. It just gives you a little bit of taste of what Matthew and Becky do and what they risk their lives to do. And kind of breaks up the small world we live in. And that's why I love them so much. So I just want to challenge you this morning. You know, we take offerings for people that come through here. And it goes to good work. But I really love this couple. I love their heart and their passion for people that hurt. And so I just want to ask you, if you just reach deep down in this morning and just ask God what He'd give you, have you to give this morning. Everything you give goes to their work. It goes to what God does. And you're sowing into good soil. And, you know, you're being a part of something that's much bigger than you are. And it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And, you know, to be able to love people that are unlovable, you know, that only God gives us that ability to love people that are unlovable. And they do that every day. It's a powerful thing. And see, the presence of the Lord is here now. There's an anointing on what they do. It's just a powerful anointing on what they do. Father, we just thank you for Matthew and Becky and one by one. Lord, we thank you that divine moments can change our lives. We thank you that there are people that are still saying yes to God, still doing what they're called to do. And Lord, we thank you for this ministry. We pray your protection over Matthew and Becky. We pray your divine providence over their life. We pray, Lord, you'll open doors for them supernaturally that, Lord, only you can open. We pray that you would bless them financially, meet the needs of every need their ministry has. We pray, God, that, Lord, you'll send them the right people to be a part of their team, to be a part of the encouragement, strengthening of their ministry. We thank you, Lord, for their relationship. But most of all, God, we thank you that we can call them friend this morning. It's extremely humbling to know, to see people give their life away. So bless this offering. Bless every giver, every family that gives. We pray that you'll bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give this morning.
You're the one who gives me shelter. You're the light that leads me home. You're the love that gave forever. Lord, you're all that I know. And all that I am, unto you I surrender. Lord, there is none like you.
Would you stand with me? Let's sing this together.
I know that I stand in the arms of forever. Lord, there is none like you.